dancing on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping, got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
Oh, something bad.
Like Frank mentioned, down one hill tonight, Donna Murphy at home with a sick kiddo, so we wish her the best and hope that little man gets better soon. But Lauren Brooks, Blythe Brumleave, and of course me, Jessica Blaylock, we're going to take you till 8 o'clock. Like we mentioned, we're going to be taking donations still for the 2014 J Fund Radio-a-thon. Ladies, we are at $65,000, which I think is amazing.
Count my $96 in the larger $65,000. Did I say $96,000? No, I didn't. Okay,
if you would like to make a $96,000 donation, we're not going to turn that away. We will gladly accept
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know what will turn that away? My bank account. That'll come off declined.
By the way, if you do want to make a donation, you can give us a call, 904-207-7070. We're asking for a donation of $96. That's how many children in this area have been diagnosed with cancer in the last year alone, but any amount helps, whether it's a dollar, whether it's $10, whether it is at 96 or even above that, any little bit helps. You've heard all throughout the course of the shows today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM about how much of this money goes directly to benefiting families and the different ways that they're able to use the money, and it is powerful, powerful stuff.
Today is actually the five-year anniversary of one of my friends. She lost her husband a couple months after they got married. He was 32, so he wasn't exactly a child. But, I mean, our age. And
it's still devastating.
Yeah, died of lung cancer, had never smoked a day in his life. So today is the exact five-year anniversary of that. So, of course, all day between this stuff, between that, I've just been crying, basically. But in a way of, like, the families help you heal. And people like Marissa, such a rock star, she just comes in and she immediately impresses you with how positive she is. There's no feeling sorry for herself. Mm-hmm. And so many of us get trapped in that, well, work was tough today, or, you know, I don't feel like blah, 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 whatever it is. And I don't feel like doing laundry. That's so minuscule. Some people would love to be able to do laundry if it meant getting out of the bed, especially, you know, little kids that are trapped there. That's the stuff that gets you. But for all the ones who have survived, especially like Marissa, we are so excited to tell their story tonight.
All right, it looks like we're getting maybe an update from Chris Wayne.
Chris Wayne means money.
We're at approximately $65,000. We do want to hit that $75,000 mark that Rick Ballew threw out earlier today on the show. So, again, please call 904-207-7070 to make a donation and help families who are dealing with cancer and watching their children go through cancer. Your gift is going to make a difference. I promise you that. We had a lady named Dana on in that last hour who talked about, you wonder if you're going to be able to keep your home. You wonder if you're going to be able to give your children a Christmas. I mean, Lauren, you hit it. When you look at the problems that we have in everyday life, it really puts it in perspective when you hear about a family that's thinking about possibly losing their home because their child is having to battle cancer.
And then try to imagine telling your child that's already struggling with fear that that's not going to be their bedroom anymore if they weren't able to keep their home. You know, because that's what goes through your head as a parent is, I want to keep everything exactly the same for my child who's struggling with this, and I want my whole family to stay exactly the way that they've been able to participate in sports. You know, like, let's say you've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and the 6-year-old's playing soccer when the 4-year-old gets diagnosed. The 6-year-old doesn't understand that they can't play sports anymore because it's too expensive. You know, you want everything to stay the same. And the J Fund does such an incredible job of not just providing the financial support, but also in talking with them. You guys had the financial counselor on, Kathy Devine, I think her name was.
Yes.
And she kind of went into detail about what they do. And there's so many of us who, if you were to kind of sit down with the bills in front of us and then crunch the numbers, you'd go, oh, I'm actually spending a lot more than I realized. And when it's something like that, where all of a sudden you can't work anymore, there is no luxury items. Everything changes. That trip to Target to buy milk now is something that weighs on you because you really don't have enough funds. You have to decide between gas and JEA. I mean, the things that these families have to deal with financially are so much on a much larger scale because there's so much emotional hysteria is the best way I would put it. You know, you looking into a child's eyes that has fear is to me just one of the saddest, most difficult things to deal with. And the parent has to stay strong for them too. Yeah. It both years that I've worked here that we've done this, I really have just been so moved.
Your donation is an incredibly small sacrifice compared to what these families have to go through. So again, that number, 904-207-7070 to make a donation. All right, ladies, my goodness. Jaguars taking on the Colts a couple days ago. Jacksonville's offense could only produce 3 points, and that was kind of a gimme anyway because they were already starting in the red zone after the forced turnover by the defense. We had hoped at this point that the offense would be taking steps forward. Blythe, it seems like they continue to kind of take steps back, which is the last thing that you want to see at this point in the season.
Especially after a bye week when you have an extra week to plan. It was really, the offense looked anemic, and they couldn't get anything going. I think they had 5 turnovers in the first half, and they couldn't capitalize on any of them, or 5 turnovers between both sides, I believe, but they couldn't capitalize on any of them. And that was really the most frustrating part, is how you had an extra week to plan for this, and we couldn't even get into the end zone. I don't really know what to say at this point.
And this is something, as far as Blake Bortles, individually, this is something we've been talking about for a while, ever since the turnovers started taking place, ever since the struggles kind of started happening. We talked about how Blake played so well at the beginning, so I think those expectations, whether from the Jaguars' point of view, became skewed or not, I think from a fan perspective, did become a little skewed. You saw what he was capable of and thought, okay, it's just going to get better from here, right? Most rookies struggle and then improve. And I think we've kind of seen the opposite with Bortles. He looked really good, and now he's starting to essentially look a little bit like a rookie. This is the first time I think that the question marks involving his confidence have really, really come into play. I mean, the coaching staff continues to stand by the confidence that they have in Blake, the confidence that he has in himself.
But what else are they going to say? You know, I kind of wonder that.
Well, and if you guys remember, what did I say about the turnover against Cincinnati? That one late in the game. I said, that's the one that really concerns me because Blake was so close to playing a turnover-free game, and I'm nervous about how that one is really going to affect his confidence. And, you know, I think that it is. I don't think that you can look at Blake and not think that he's somewhat, I don't want to say questioning, but overthinking maybe some of the throws, some of the plays that's going on. I just think you're finally starting to see where maybe a little bit of a lack of confidence is inserting itself into this offense.
Well, as we know, the game happens so fast between college and pro, and so he sits back there. He doesn't have much time, and so a lot of it is on the offensive line. They did not play well, so I hate to say that, you know, it's Blake has lost his confidence, but you have to wonder if he has, and of course the coaches are going to say, well, no, we're, you know, making sure that he does not have to worry about making mistakes and everything. That's exactly what they're supposed to say, and that's what they're supposed to tell him. My problem from Sunday was you have a team that cannot score even a field goal in garbage time. I mean, how is that even possible? This team, the game is won. It has been long done. Once it hit 13-3, we all knew it was over. And yet they still could not produce any points. Like, that to me is physically impossible. How do you not get the ball in from the 1 yard line? You're grown men. So for me, I don't want to say Blake sucks yet. I don't want to say he's
no,
good. I just want to say he needs an offensive line.
Yeah, it's way too early to make any type of
decision
on whether Bortles is going to work out or not. I still fully believe that he is going to.
That are frustrated because everyone keeps saying, you know, be patient and pray. Some people are praising him, and I hear that from fans. Like, no. He needs to be just as accountable as the offensive line or as the run game that stunk or as Cyprian and Gratz that, you know, couldn't cover T.Y. Hilton. Like, he needs to be just as held accountable. And I guarantee in the locker room he is, because Gus Bradley's comments on Sunday were he needs to play better.
And that's the the wins and the losses of a game always fall on a quarterback. And you can talk about his confidence, but you can also talk about the coaching staff and maybe the lack of confidence that they have in him, because the majority of his passes, I think it was 21 of 24 pass attempts aimed at a receiver, were thrown 9 yards or shorter. Why aren't they throwing down the field? We are 1-10. Take a shot. What do we have to lose? Let him open it up. Let him air it out. That
way
you
need time in the pocket for that, you know? And he's getting crushed, or he is making some wrong decisions, and then it's just about to be like, throw the ball up, and who knows who's going to
Well, and that, and that came up, too. That question was asked, was the play calling too conservative? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Gus said, no, the game plan heading in against Indianapolis was to run the ball. That's what we thought we could do. We thought we could attack on the ground. So it wasn't anything to do with a lack of confidence in Blake or how they were feeling about what Bortles could possibly do through the air. They wanted to attack the run. I mean, obviously, Denard Robinson, leading up to this past Sunday, had played really well. Toby Gerhart showed signs of life. I think they thought they could run the ball.
And what a disappointment.
You know, so, but I think fans feel that same way at this point. What have you got to lose? Take shots down the field. Do what you have to do.
I mean,
and we just
try.
Didn't see that.
Just try. That's the one thing. You can't have a solid run game if you don't have a decent pass attempt. They're going to put 8 in the box every single time, and you're not going to be able to run anything. And if they know you only have one aspect of the game that's going good for you in the run game, then they know they're not even going to try to attack the pass game. You have to at least try.
I will say, I know T.Y. Hilton went a little nuts, but 23 points. Jacksonville held Indy to 23 points. That's the second lowest point total that the Colts have scored this season. Their past three games, in fact, 34, 24, 42. Prior to that, 27, 33, 41, 44. So the Jaguars' defense, even though there were a few holes, I thought for the most part, did a really good job. Chris Clemens had a heck of a game. Those 3 sacks on Andrew Luck in that first quarter. But again, too little, not getting all your units on the same page. That's been a problem all year, and that continued with the Jaguars offense only being able to score 3 points.
Well, and just they limited the Colts to 6 points in an entire half. That's the number one offense in the country, regardless.
Yeah, if
of
you
the
would have said 6-3 at
the
half, I would have said I will absolutely right. take that in a heartbeat.
Andrew Luck is MVP right now of the league.
Right, and what was it? 3 forced fumbles, 2 of which we recovered. Like, you can't get a better position to be in, and the fact that again you can only put up a field goal. And that field goal was blocked.
Yes.
So it, like, I mean, partially blocked, so it barely made it in there. It is frustrating.
Yeah, the frustration does continue. I do want to get to some of the comments by Denard Robinson in the conversation that I had with him in the locker room yesterday. And I want your feedback on what you guys think about what he had to say, being a former quarterback himself. We're also going to check in with Marissa Ierna, a cancer survivor. I love saying those two words together, cancer survivor. All night till 10 o'clock, we will continue to take donations for the J Fund. Be there for kids with cancer. Give a one-time gift of $96 or whatever you can donate. Any little bit will help. You can call and make your donation at 904-207-7070. When we do Return on Helmets and Heels, presented by Underwood Jewelers, we're going to check in with Marissa, and I'm going to talk about that conversation with Denard Robinson. That's all coming up next. You're listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh my gosh, I just jumped on the headphones that Frank uses. I mean, I love blasting Led Zeppelin when it plays. I might have lost hearing temporarily for a second. My goodness, this thing has turned up loud.
Yeah, he does like it now. But you know what? All the better to hear Rick Ballew and you with it pumped that loud.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, welcome back to Helmets and Heels, presented by Underwood Jewelers. Do want to remind you that we are continuing to take those donations for the J Fund Radiothon. Call 904-207-7070 to make a donation. And we have a special treat right now because we are once again joined by Marissa Ierna, who is a Helmets and Heels veteran. You did appear on the show, a couple months ago?
Yeah, stole the show.
Oh, absolutely. We can't compete with Marissa. Marissa, you've been involved, obviously, with the J Fund, both as someone who has benefited from it and someone who's now trying to raise awareness and help other people. First off, for people who don't know, give us a little bit of your background and how you initially came into contact with the J Fund.
So my background started back in May of 2012 when I was diagnosed with stage 4 alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma, the longest word on the earth, not really, but I was diagnosed with cancer, and I started my 54 weeks of treatment in June of 2012, went through 6 weeks of photon therapy, which is a type of radiation, then finished my last treatment on June 17th of 2013, in almost an exact year, and was declared cancer-free on July 10th and still going on a year and 4 months, so... it was a long journey, but I'm here now, and that's all that matters.
Did you know when they first diagnosed you that it was going to be over a year of treatment?
Yeah, when I was first diagnosed, it was actually diagnosed as stage 3, and then when they did the bone marrow check, that's when they diagnosed it as stage 4. And so it was a year, but it wasn't as harsh, and then it depended on if I stayed on schedule and everything. And luckily for me, I was able to stay on schedule. But yeah, it was exact year to the date. I didn't know it would like literally be an exact year, but it was pretty much almost an exact year.
But now looking back, you said a year and 4 months. How fast did the year and 4 months go in comparison with that year of treatment?
A very much different. when I was first diagnosed, June of 2012 probably couldn't, or June 2013 could probably not have come faster. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very, very long journey, even though it was filled with fun times and memories that I'll never forget. It seemed like every day was, longer than 24 hours, and it seemed like I was literally living every single day. It was very, very difficult. But once I hit that light at the end of the tunnel, it all kind of went on a fast track and on a roller coaster then. So,
and how did your family come across the J Fund? How was the J Fund able to help you out?
So when we first got when I was first diagnosed, I say we because when the child gets diagnosed, everybody around them gets diagnosed too. And so when my family and I, we got diagnosed with cancer, we started out, doing fine. And then we started to realize that the medical bills, they pile up. And it's not so much the medical bills, but it's the little things and, food, gas, anything. And so our social worker came to us and they introduced the J Fund to us. And from there on, they've been a great partnership. They helped my parents pay financially anything that they could. And then for me, they helped emotionally, with the parties and all the different events that they get to allow the patients to be a part of. It's been a remarkable journey with them.
Because that seems important to have something on your calendar to look forward mm-hmm. to when you're struggling so much.
Oh, yeah, especially they're having their annual Christmas party for the patients coming up, and this year is Frozen themed. And even though I'm not a young child, I love Frozen and stuff, I can only imagine what the little guys are, looking forward to and having that opportunity with Christmas around the corner, and especially, with some of the kids having to be in the hospital for Christmas. So for them, it's like, oh, my gosh, I get to go to a Christmas party, and my favorite act, princesses are going to be there. So it's definitely a feeling that is, it's unreplaceable because it's one of those things where you can't, making a kid smile is probably one of the most important things when going through treatment. And so giving them that, something to look forward to and something to remember and, getting those lifetime pictures and memories, it's just unbelievable.
And that's a good theme. Let it go.
Yes, absolutely.
Let it go.
We're joined by Marissa Ierna, who is a cancer survivor right now, an ambassador for the J Fund. And Marissa, I think that's something that you probably don't think about at first. You're just focused on your health and getting better and how you're going to deal with this devastating diagnosis. But we've talked about this before. So much of battling an illness also has to do with your attitude and the way that you approach it. I mean, you're such a positive person, but just thinking about those things that the J Fund does outside of helping pay bills, whether it is throwing a party, whether it is putting on a themed Christmas party for the kids. I mean, something to just help cheer them up, to kind of take their mind off the fact for just a little while that they're dealing with cancer. It's got to be amazing, those memories that are created that help you get your mind off of dealing with cancer.
Well, it's, it's like you asking me how, the year that you went through treatment comparing to the year now that I've, mm-hmm. had, it feels like yesterday I was just battling cancer. That's how fast it's gone by. But, the year, the only way that it gets by is if you smile. And people like the J Fund, these foundations are what create those smiles for the kids. You know, they help us say, okay, well, it's only November, but guess what? On this date, I get to do this. And soon enough, that day will come because it's something to look forward to, and it gives them that smile and it gives them that light at the end of the tunnel, whether the end of the tunnel is a year from that party. You know, it doesn't matter. It's giving them hope and, you know, happiness and presents and anything that a child's dream is when it comes to Christmas, Halloween, anything. It, you know, it doesn't matter. It's they're smiling, and that's pretty much the, you know, the bottom line of what the J Fund does.
We had a mom on earlier today whose daughter is receiving her last chemo treatment tomorrow, which is so exciting. But she talked about now wanting to give back to the J Fund because of how much the J Fund was able to bless her during her time of need, help her provide Christmas for her children, help pay bills, things like that. Why did you want to continue to stay involved with the J Fund after you had overcome your cancer diagnosis?
Well, first, congrats to whoever that patient is. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, it's awesome.
If you're listening, I love the people at the J Fund. They, you know, not only are they just there to, you know, send, you know, payments to pay that, or, you know, just to be there to throw on the parties, but they're there as friends, and, you know, they're there for support, and they're there to say, hey, you know, Rita, I need this, or hey, you know, they're there for anything. And so for me, it was kind of one of those things where it fell into my lap of, you know, my idea of what I wanted to do, and said, you know what, the J Fund, their goal is to make kids smile. Their goal is to raise awareness for childhood cancer. Their goal is to help, you know, families financially. You know, their goal is to be there for them. And so for me, what better way to, you know, bring the awareness for childhood cancer than with a foundation that wants to be there in any way they can. And I think that's why I chose the J Fund. I absolutely love them, and they're a fantastic foundation.
And now, you already had the Go for Gold event. When was that? In September?
September. Okay. Yeah, well, there's a ton of dates. So, yes, all month of September.
September, right. Something.
Yes.
And then this Sunday, tell us about what will be going on that's special for the J Fund.
Well, they are hosting the Giants game. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the Sunday. Yeah,
that's a really exciting day. You know, the Giants, they only come here, I think, every 4 years, or they switch off with the Jags and the Giants coming there, and, you know, us going there. So it's pretty exciting for us just because we get to see our, you know, lovely coach Tom Coughlin Sunday. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, I know that they're going to bring donors to the game and allow them to come, you know, support the Jags, but also support the Giants. And, you know, we do have some of the patients coming to talk with the donors while they're at the tailgate and enjoying some food. So it should be a fun day just because it's, you know, it's going to be a good football game, hopefully. And plus, we get to see Coach Tom Coughlin, which is always, you know, a highlight.
Marissa, can you guarantee that we're going to score more than 3 points on Sunday?
I hope so. I was telling my dad on the way here, I'm like, I think Frank and them were talking on this, you know, well, maybe we'll beat the Giants. And as much as I want the Jags to win a game, I have to say I'd rather have Coach Tom Coughlin as a coach for the Giants.
Well, you know what?
It's honesty.
Yeah, and that's understandable. Obviously, Coach Coughlin is so special to you and everyone else involved with the J Fund, and what he's been able to do to help raise awareness and continue such a great cause, even though he hasn't been in Jacksonville for years now. A lot of people know Coughlin as that, you know, that really tough coach and not very lenient when you see him on the field, but you know him more as kind of a softie. Give us something on Tom Coughlin.
Well, it's funny because in my speech class last week, we had to turn in a quiz, and it was a tribute or a introductory speech for somebody famous or somebody you look up to. And so I chose Coach Coughlin. And my first thing is, when you watch the Giants on the football field, you'll notice that Coach Coughlin's facial expressions are either frustrated, angry, not happy, any of those, you know, lovely words. And what I wrote was that, but the person that you see off the field is completely different than that.
Right.
And he is somebody who, you know, all he does is care, and all he does is he wants to help and be there. And, you know, it's like, I think, you know, they were saying earlier is that he's not just the name on that foundation. He really, truly wants to be there for all these patients. And, you know, anytime he comes, he makes that move to go say hi to all the patients and call the patients who are not doing well to give them that cheerfulness. And he's probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met, and I'm so thankful that I've gotten the opportunity to be a part of, you know, his life and have him a part of my life. In fact, December of 2012 when he came and I first met him, I got to tour him around the hospital. And that day I got to make it into the newspaper with him. And it was so exciting because I made the front page. Well, after I won my award on Thursday, I got to be in the newspaper again on Friday. And this time Coach Coughlin made it in the newspaper with me. So I'm very excited to tell him that it's been a swap there. And, I absolutely love the entire, the Coughlins, Miss Coughlin. They're probably the most wonderful people. You wish everybody was like that.
So what would you say to people who are thinking about making a donation? By the way, that phone number is 904-207-7070. Obviously, it's been a tough time for a lot of people financially in recent years, and maybe they're on the fence about giving. What would you say to people to convince them to make a donation to such a wonderful cause?
I would, a lot of people, they want to give. And especially during this time of the year, it's Thanksgiving. It's the time for giving. And in my eyes, a lot of people don't really know where to put that money. And they ask what foundations will help. And they go to the big name foundations, American Cancer Society, St. Jude's, and all those. And what's really good about the J Fund is that they help the families here locally. And so you know that the money that you donate, it's going to go to somebody that can maybe live in your neighborhood. You never know. And, they're a foundation that, as all the people here today, we all speak on behalf of them, and they truly are there for all the patients and all the families that they can be there for. And so I would encourage anybody to donate to them if you're trying to find a person, the foundation, whatever it is. This is one of those local foundations that is, just truly, truly, they're all heart-warm people, and they really do want to, be there as much as they can for families.
They're amazing. Everyone we have worked with from the J Fund has just been over the top wonderful, other than Chris Wayne. Over there. Just kidding. They're all so dedicated. I mean, Chris himself said he's going to stay through the Fat Tuesday, what I call it, Fat Tony Show tonight through 10 o'clock, just to make sure that he doesn't miss anyone that wants to donate.
Yeah.
And, $96, it's like two gas tanks. That's it.
And again, it doesn't even have to be $96. Whatever you can donate, it's greatly, greatly appreciated. We've raised close to $66,000. Let's get an update. Let's get an update on how we're doing.
All right, here we go. Here comes the mean, nasty Chris Wayne with the update. I don't have an update. I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
Okay.
We love challenges.
Because I'll lose. For the Helmets and Heels listeners, I need 25 people. 25.
That's it.
If we can do 25 gifts and 96 or more, that'll take us to 68 grand. We figure if we're pacing that way, we can make 75 by 10 o'clock tonight.
That's awesome.
Okay. So I know that there are 25 people, and I know that there are 25 willing hearts for 96. And you're right. You don't have to give 96. You can give more. You can give like way more than that.
Lauren was talking about giving $96,000 earlier.
And you know what? And I'll sign you up right now.
No, but really, for people driving around, if you can't remember the number, 207-7070, you can call 641-1010, and Scott will answer the phone, and Scott will give you the phone number. I had a couple people do that earlier today. Mm-hmm. So whatever is easiest for you. If you need to go online, tcjfund.org, in case you're not by a phone. I did that online myself today. It was nice and easy. Put in radiothon as the keyword. And all of the money obviously goes to the best cause I can think of.
All right, so 25 people, that's our goal.
Yeah,
25 or more. 25 or
Come
more.
Come on, folks.
All right, Marissa, you rock.
Thanks
we love me. Having you on.
Thank you.
We're so happy that we can call you a cancer survivor. I love being able to say that. We thank you so much for your time and helping bring awareness to such a wonderful cause. When we do return, my conversation in the locker room with Denard Robinson yesterday about Blake Bortles and his confidence. Also, what is the one rule that J.J. Watt lives by during the NFL season? We'll also hit on that. Again, that phone number to make a donation, 904-207-7070. Come on, people, we can do this. This is Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I was rocking out to some Tom Petty earlier today, Little American Girl. You gotta love that. Oh, Marissa, she's the best. Are you kidding me? She is the best.
Just in awe of her.
Yeah.
Every time she's in here, we just sat in here for, 15 minutes and complained about the Jags, and now I'm like, I feel so dumb for complaining about that.
She radiates positive energy, and from everything that I understand in talking with her family, she was able to do that the entire time she was in the hospital.
That's incredible.
She smiled and knew that her attitude would affect her own body. So she was able to fight through it and not just fight it, but fight it with the attitude that, you know what, this is the hand I've been dealt, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make the best of the situation. I'll never forget when we talked to her last time and she said, looking back, that cancer has been a blessing because I would not have been in the position I am now to help these families, to sit with parents and be the shoulder for them to cry on. As a young, she is a young woman to be able to emotionally handle that stuff. So
I hoped to be able to handle a situation like that if I was ever in that.
Me too. And so she did just tell us that she has a video that we're all going to watch on YouTube later.
But later, in the privacy of our own homes. Mm-hmm. So when we're all bawling our eyes out like a baby, nobody else has to see. That phone number again, 904-207-7070. To make a donation to the J Fund, be there for kids with cancer, any gift possible, any gift possible. Do we have another update from Chris Wayne?
Yes, actually, this just happened. Scott took the call. We've got a gentleman named Ken who has got $500 sitting, and he's waiting, and he has issued a challenge for the Helmets and Heels crew. So he wants to see 10 calls. Once those 10 calls come through, then he drops his 500.
That is awesome. All right, come on, people. 904-207-7070. We need 10 people to make a $96 donation. This can be done. This can absolutely be done. We're so close. Let's make this happen.
I guarantee you, if you ever get the opportunity and privilege to meet Marissa, you will want to throw money down and say, I want to help people like you and your family. Right, exactly. I mean, Frank giving $1,000 earlier, just the generosity of people, it moves you.
Yeah, because you see what these donations do, and that they really do change people's lives and change the situation for better in the midst of what they're dealing with, their child being diagnosed with cancer. They can focus. I mean, like we talked about earlier, they can focus on, instead of bills and how they're going to pay them and what they're going to do financially, they can focus on taking care of their child and encouraging them and loving them and just completely focusing on them during what will be one of the most difficult times of their lives.
We had Blake in earlier during Jaguars Today, and his birthday was today, his 14th birthday. So happy birthday, Blake, again. And he needed a special kind of treatment that he would not have been able to get without the J Fund stepping in. And his mom, Rebecca, said, without the J Fund, my son Blake would not be here today.
Well,
so you really are saving people's lives. You're not just donating to
it's unbelievable.
To a cause.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's get it back to the Jaguars. Had a good conversation yesterday in the locker room with Denard Robinson, who I really wanted to talk to, because obviously Denard played the position of quarterback himself while at Michigan. And I wanted to ask from his perspective as Blake Bortles' teammate, as a former and fellow quarterback, what are you seeing from Blake? Do you feel like his confidence has taken a hit? Do you feel like, some of these struggles are starting to weigh on him mentally? What are you seeing from Blake? And Denard told me, you know what? Blake has so much upside. He's got way too much upside to ever lose confidence. And because we see that, we don't lose confidence in him either. Cecil Shorts talked yesterday in the locker room about how this offense still believes in Blake. And you know what? Sometimes you've just got to keep playing the game. You've just got to keep pushing through the trials. You've just got to keep pushing through the tough times. This team is at 1-10 with their back against the wall. There's nothing else they can do but keep playing the game and see how the rest of this season is going to play out. But again, from the perspective of the players and inside the locker room, this isn't a locker room that is split. this isn't a locker room that is starting to shut down on one another. This is a locker room that is still completely united. And from what they are telling me, from what they are saying, they still firmly believe in Blake Bortles and his abilities and the fact that the arrow is still only pointing up despite the struggles.
Absolutely. Alfie from Big Cat Country had this great article earlier in talking about how much of a rebuild this has been. Since 2012, on the final roster for 2012, 20 players that were on that roster are no longer in the NFL. An additional 10 players are currently on the IR in the NFL. So 30 players of a 53-man roster are not in the NFL anymore. That just goes to show that a season and a half, essentially, that we've had to build on through drafts and through free agency, that this really is such a young team and you have to practice patience. And so it's good to see that the guys in the locker room are more patient than the fans, obviously.
One of the things in looking at the Jags-Giants game that comes up on Sunday that I took a look at was the two quarterbacks, Eli Manning and Blake Bortles. I would say if you asked a casual fan which one's better, obviously they'd say Eli Manning. He has some Super Bowl rings. But
yeah, that helps.
When you really look at it, their yards are really not that much different, especially if you consider that Blake didn't start the year. Manning has a little over 2,800 yards. Blake has a little over 2,000 yards. So not a huge difference there.
How many interceptions has Eli
thrown? I don't have that. What I had, what I zeroed in on, was touchdowns. 21 touchdowns for Eli, 8 touchdowns for Blake. So Eli's able to take that ball and in the red zone find the right guy, as you look up the interceptions, thank you. And Blake, whether it's him, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the receivers, they're not on the same page in the red zone. And that's going to be the crucial part to this Sunday's game. So going back, though, to a topic that we've kind of circled around for a while that we keep wanting to mention, do you think the Jaguars would be better if all single players were not allowed to date females while in season?
By the way, 12 interceptions for Eli Manning, 15 for Bortles.
So not a huge difference there, but definitely a huge difference on the touchdowns.
Right. Okay, so how did you phrase that question?
Would you give that to us one more time? Jaguar players that are single, would you want them to
date females?
No. Would you want them to not date any females during the season? Like J.J. Watt.
Would I not want Jaguar players to date
during the season? Because he, like you said, swears off women during football season.
Yeah.
I think that's going to make
us better. Define dating.
I'm the last person to be able to do that.
You know what? Good for J.J. Watt if that's what he lives by and that's what works for him during the season. I mean, obviously, he produces like nobody's business, so it works for him. I don't really think that it's that big of a deal. I mean, I really don't. I'm sure that there are players where personal off-the-field issues, it's hard to leave those behind. I mean, I've talked to a couple of former players, and that was one thing that came up. Like, the stuff that's going on off the field, that when you walk in, you have to leave it at the door. You truly have to leave it at the door, because those other 50-plus players are counting on you to do your job. And you cannot be distracted by what's going on outside of that facility. You can't be distracted by anything that's going on off the field. You have to be completely focused on your job and what you're doing. So if that's what J.J. Watt needs to do, swearing off women during the season, more power to him. I just don't know if in the long run that makes such
swearing off women altogether. He's probably swearing off a long-term relationship, but he's not swearing off women. I mean, let's
We're
be
breaking
serious.
It down now.
Let's look at the way he's very attractive for a football player, and he's a stud. He's a star player. I'm sure he's got some lady
friends.
I thought
it was good news because it meant that we might still have a chance with J.J. Watt, although it would probably be difficult.
It's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, J.J., we'll have to wait until you're not dating or not playing anymore.
Not playing, at least for the Texans. Maybe if you go play in another division.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that I swore off guys during high school and college, but I think it was less me choosing that and more the fact that no one was asking me on dates.
Don't they usually, as the saying goes, behind every great man is even greater woman. So I think that a lot of the times,
at least they do on helmets and heels.
They're helped by a woman.
Think
at
about
home.
Our conversation with Chanel Shorts,
mm-hmm.
and what a rock she is for Cecil.
Right.
You know, while he's dealing with injuries, whether it's that support. at home, whether it's taking care of the kids and Cecil doesn't have to worry about some of those things. I think Chanel is a perfect example of what a strong woman can do if she's dating a professional athlete.
Sure. But then on the
Michaela Bradley, too.
Yeah, that too. I would say established relationships maybe can survive a life in the NFL, but if you're trying to date and try to actively pursue relationships while you're... Because an NFL career is very demanding, and you have to... That is your relationship. And so for someone else, like a woman, to be on the back burner, essentially, and you're dating... And athletes in particular are that you have to be selfish. So I think it's a little bit of a difficulty, and it's a little bit of an adjustment for some of these women that demand maybe a little bit more attention for them to not get as much from an NFL player.
I think you're right.
Didn't a story just come out like a week or two ago, too, about Bortles ending his relationship?
I have heard rumors about that. Maybe Lindsay come back.
You know what? We don't care. We don't even care. If you want to date someone, if you don't want to date someone, whatever. Just produce on the field.
Right.
That's all we're really concerned about.
Throw me some touchdowns. I don't care if you're banging 10 people.
Are we allowed to say that? Well, guess what? That just happened.
Cleaned it up a little bit.
That just happened.
That's good. The touchdowns matter, not the extracurricular activities.
Exactly.
See, I kind of like the idea of totally focusing on football and leaving the distractions, whether it's a woman, whether it's fishing, behind. You know, focus for those 9 months. And then enjoy your off season and do whatever the hell you want to do.
Right.
Then.
America.
And athletes, you should be donating right now. 207-7070.
America, you do whatever you want to do. It's fine.
Freedom.
It's fine. All right. Well, yeah, this is a perfect segue for me to throw out this phone number if you'd like to make a donation. We had the gauntlet thrown down. We have a $500 donation that is waiting to be made if we had 10 people call and give a gift of $96 or more.
Just want to give a shout out to Janet Hampton. She just said she just made her donation.
Awesome. We love Janet. We love Janet. Thank you so much, Shannon. Thank you to everyone else who has donated today. Whatever the amount, doesn't matter. The fact that you have sacrificed so that you can help these families who sacrifice so much while their children are battling cancer. We're so thankful for what the J Fund does. That number, 904-207-7070. You're going to have an opportunity to be there for kids with cancer and their families as they battle through this, whether it's providing a Christmas, whether it's helping pay bills, whether it's throwing parties, giving these kids an event to look forward to, taking stress off of these families. They're already dealing with enough of it. Call and make your donation. It's going to make a world of difference. 904-207-7070 is that phone number. We will wrap things up when we do return on Helmets and Heels. We'll give you our prediction for the Jags game this Sunday against the Giants.